With today's shiur is Masechta Bechoros Daf Lamed. We will begin on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Choshir al Shvius, Ein Choshir al Maisrus. If somebody is suspect that he doesn't follow the halachas of Shemitah, we need not be concerned that he doesn't follow the halacha of Maisa. There's actually Mechlekes Rishonim. What does it mean when the Gemara says Ein Choshir al Maisrus? Rashi seems to learn that we don't have to be worried that he doesn't take off Meiser from his produce. Many Rishonim disagree with Rashi's Pshat because they say the Meiserishin, the Gemara says in many places, we never are concerned that people don't take Meiserishin. And Meiser Oni, there's no reason not to take because even if you eat Meiser Oni, you haven't done anything wrong. So therefore, many Rishonim explain, and it's very much in line with what we've learned in the previous shiurim, Ein Choshir al Maisrus means that we need not be concerned that he's selling Maiser produce and saying that it's chulin. Furthermore, the Rishonim say that even though we're not concerned, our Gemara is speaking on the level of a deraisa. The Medaraisa, somebody who's Choshir al Shvius, as the Gemara will explain soon why, is not Choshir al Maisrus. But throughout Shas, we have the halacha of demai, that somebody who's amoritz is, we have to take demai when we buy produce from him. So all the Rishonim agree that somebody who's so far, that he's a choshal or shvius, produce that we buy from him would be considered demai. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, choshal amaisris, what we just described, ein a choshal al shvius is not necessarily choshal al shvius. Says the Mishnah further, however, somebody who's suspect on both of these, choshed al taharis, is also choshed that he isn't keeping taharis properly. And the simple pshat, and we'll elaborate this on in the Gemara, because the concept of our Gemara is a choshed al dover chomer, somebody who's suspect in something more serious is choshed al dover kal, is suspect in something less serious. Continues the Mishnah. And this wording of the Mishnah is a very interesting wording. So the way the Rishonim explain it is as follows. The Rambam and the Pirush Mishnah says this. When we speak about Hilchos Tum and Tahara throughout Shas, there are many situations that it's a Midaraisa situation, and there are many situations with a Churma D'Rabbanan. So says the Mishnah, V'yeshu Choshed Al Taharis, doesn't mean that an individual is choshed on taharis the rabbanon. Because just because you're choshed on taharis the rabbanon doesn't mean that you're choshed on a deraisa, meiser and shmita. And that's why the Mishnah means here somebody who's choshed on taharis deraisa, that he violates the halachas of tumat ha'arim deraisa, such an individual, says the Mishnah, is v'yeshu choshed on taharis v'enu choshed lo yelzeh, if it's the rabbanon he's not, if the deraisa he is. What does choshed al taharis mean? Here too we have a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say choshed al taharis means that he doesn't keep the halachas of tum and tahara. Other rishonim, seems to be the pshat of the Rambam, is that he sells food that's tamei under the guise that it's tahar. What's the machlokes rishonim based on? It's a very fundamental issue. Because the question is a Jew obligated to keep his food with tahara? If you hold that there's a mitzvah to keep your food with tahara, so that's what it means, choshed al taharis, that you violated that mitzvah. The Rambam holds there's no mitzvah to keep your food with tahara. If you eat food that's tameh, you'll become tameh, but there's no specific obligation. So therefore, he has to explain choshed al taharis, being an individual who sells food that's tameh as tahar. And concludes the Mishnah, zeh klal, ha-choshed al dover lo'idon v'lo'im idai. Somebody who's suspect, lo'idon v'lo'im idai. So here, Turim Mefarshim, Taisus Yontu discusses this. Typically, when the Mishnah concludes with a summary, the Mishnah is trying to teach us something. The Gemara doesn't ask, Zeh klal l'suyimai. So Mefarshim explained that what is the Mishnah teaching us? The Taisus Yontu explains. Certainly, our Mishnah is teaching us that if you suspect in a subject, you suspect in that subject completely. Now the question is, if somebody's choshed or maisa, good. So I can't trust them, Hilchos Maisrus. The Mishnah is teaching us how far that level of mistrust goes. And even if the person is a dayan or an aid on a sub, on an issue that involves ma'aser, that is included in his being a choshed al ma'aser. So our Mishnah said that Shemitah and ma'aser don't travel together. And just because you're choshed on one doesn't make you choshed on the other. Obviously, and it's important to frame the Gemara, I think, this way. The concept of our Gemara seems to be that if you're choshed on one situation, then you ought to be choshed on anything else equal or lesser. So conceptually, Ma'aser and Shemitah are equal. So why does the Mishnah teach us that if you're choshed on one, you're not choshed on the other? My Tama, says the Gemara, Shvius Loi Baichama, people consider Ma'aser perhaps more serious than Shemitah. Because Shemitah, there is no rule that you have to eat it within the walls of Yerushalayim. Ma'aser came in the Baichama, but Ma'aser has to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. So in people's mind, Chamalei. HaChoshed Al Ma'aser, vice versa. My Tama, because people look at Ma'aser as less serious than Shemitah. Why? Ma'aser is lepidyon. We know that halacha is that you could be paid to your Ma'aser sheni produce and just take the money up to Yerushalayim. Shvius, kiven the mitzrilei, the less lepidyon. We know that halacha is that not only are the fruit of Shemitah have the Kedusha Shvius, but we've learned many times that let's say somebody sells Shemitah produce and he gets something in exchange, so whatever he gets in exchange also obtains Kedusha Shvius. That's why people look at Shemitah as more chomer than Ma'aser. And just because you're chashed a Shemitah doesn't mean you're chashed on Ma'aser. But what is clear in our Gemara, and let's think about this for a few moments, is that somebody who's chashed on an Aveira, is, unless there's a good explanation, he's chashed on everything that's equal and certainly lesser. And the way that Halacha describes it, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, is a choshed al dover chomer, it's choshed al davar akal. If you choshed on a serious thing, you're certainly more choshed on a lesser issue. So the Rishonim ask, the Ramban doesn't agree to this concept. And the Ramban says, just because you're choshed al dover chomer, you're not choshed al davar akal. So they ask, what's the Ramban going to do with our Gemara? So I saw a very nice explanation. When the Ramban says, HaChosh al-Dov HaChomer, not Chosh al-Dov HaKal, he doesn't mean, for example, that if somebody is choshed to eat something that's awesome with the Raisa, that's Osir, that is not choshed to eat something that's awesome with the Rabbanon. Agamar clearly tells us that that is the case. When the Ramban says that, let's say you have two types of Asurim that are totally two different categories. The example I would give is, let's say somebody's choshed on a Midah D'Achila, and he's also choshed on Chil Shabbos. So Shabbos is relates to activity, and Achila relates to eating. So the Ramban says, since these are two totally different types of Yisurim, just because you're choshed on Dov HaChom doesn't make you choshed on Dov HaKal. The difficulty in understanding the concept of choshed on Dov HaChomer being choshed on Dov HaKal is what makes something a Dov HaChomer. Pashut Pshat, we would assume that what makes something Dov HaChomer is based on the Einish. Something that has a more serious punishment is considered more chomer. It's not that obvious. There are many mefarshim that say, because a mitzvah and aveira also have to have mazel. And sometimes people consider certain mitzvahs more important, or certain aveiras more important, even halachically they may be less. So the question is, let's say you have an aveira which is conceptually more or less serious because of the einish, but in people's mind, it's different. How do you determine what's a davar chomer, what's a davar kal? What the Paiskim, however, do say, this is an important halacha, is that, let's say, I'm an individual that's not makbid on chadash. And you are makbid on chadash. And therefore, you look at me as a person who's choshed al davar chomer. Chadash is a davar chomer. So am I going to be considered a choshed now? So the Paiskim say, when we speak about a choshed al davar chomer, it speaks about a person who knows that something is osur, and he still violates that isur. That is an individual who's a choshed al davar chomer. But let's say you have an individual who's doing it because he thinks halachically it's correct. That's not called a choshed al davar chomer. What is an interesting question that the Paiskim actually debate is as follows. Let's say, again, I'm not careful about chadash. I don't consider it an issue in chutz laretz. And you are careful with chadash in chutz laretz. And you come to my house. Are you allowed to, and I know that you're makpid, are you allowed to eat without making sure that I prepared you a meal that fits your requirements? On one hand, the fact that I'm not careful with it puts me into a category that you should have to check. On the other hand, given the explanation that we just gave, I'm not a bad person, I'm just not makpid. But if I know that you're makpid, I certainly won't feed you something that you wouldn't be comfortable in eating or feel that you're not allowed to eat. Interesting, machloikus apayiskin. Continues the Gemara. Hachosher al zeh v'zeh. But the Mishnah said that if you chosher on Meiser and Shemitah, you certainly chosher al Taharis. As we explained, kivin the chosher al deraisa, since this person is chosher to be over the raisas, kosh came that he's certainly chosher al derabonim. V'yesh shil chosher al Taharis. But the Mishnah said that you could have a situation that person is not careful about Taharis, but he's not chosher on Meiser and Shemitah. My tama, how come? Ned Rabbanon Choshed, even though this person unfortunately violates the Rabbanon's, at the Raisa Le Choshed. But we don't necessarily assume that he's Choshed to violate the Raisas. Vermini asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Nemanal Taharis, somebody who's trusted on Taharis, Nemanal Shvius, Ho Choshed. Isn't the Braisa teaching us that if you're Choshed on Taharis, you're Choshed on Shemitah as well? So Taisus and Rishonim ask, why is this the diak that we make in the Braisa? Maybe the diak in the Braisa is that if you're choshed on Taharis, then you're choshed on Shemitah, but if you're choshed on Taharis, nemen al Shvius. But the Braisa is teaching us that if you're choshed al Shvius, which is a Daraisa, then you're certainly choshed on Taharis. So why is the Gemara asked the Rishonim making the diik? Ha-choshed al-zeh, choshed al-zeh. We could have made a different diik and not have any question. So Mefarshim answer, if what the Braisa was teaching here to teach us is that somebody's choshed al-shmita is choshed al-taharis, then the Braisa should have said it. Why did the Braisa choose to say it specifically in this order? To teach us the diik, that if you're choshed al-taharis, you are choshed al-shmita. Obviously contradictory to what we learned in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Amr Beloy Masnisan Kishirin or Noi Bitsina Batakhtaisai. Our Mishnah is speaking about a situation where we saw the person is being careful in the privacy of his home on Meiser and Shemitah. Such an individual, even though we see him being Choshed al Taharis, we don't have to be worried about Meiser and Shemitah. Because we have a reason to believe that on these issues he's careful. Another person we have to be makpid. That's one teretz. Rabbi Yanai Bereb Yishmo gives a different explanation. Kigoyin, the chava choshel tavayu. The Braisa refers to a situation where the person, we saw him violating Shemitah, we saw him violating Taharis, and then, v'asu kamei Rabbanon, but then he decided to do tshuva. And he came in front of Rabbanon, v'kabu ha-tavayu. And now he says, from now on, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to be careful with Taharis. I'm going to be careful on Shemitah. And then we see that he fell through on one of them. So what does that prove to us? That his tshuva wasn't a real tshuva. The Minin, that's when we say, since we see that he fell through on his Kabbalah on one, even though it's the lesser issue, we have to assume that he fell through even on the more serious Avera. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi B'Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what we've been learning, Zu Divrei Rabbi Akiva Sismasah. This that we learned in our Mishnah, that if you choshed at Shemitah, you're not choshed at Maisa, or vice versa, represents the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Why is it called Sismasah? Because many Stam Mishnayis represent the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Ava Chom Amrim, the Chom disagree. Choshed al Shvius, if somebody's choshed to be over Shemitah, Choshed al Maisa. It's certainly also Choshed al Maisa. Ask the Gemara, Man Chachamim, who is this Chachamim? Says Gemara of Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda. Fourth says the Gemara, the Ba'asri of Rabbi Yehuda in Rabbi Yehuda's locale, Shvius Chamirlei. They were very serious about Shemitah. And therefore, somebody violates Shemitah, it's clearly an indication that this individual is not following the mitzvahs, and we have to be concerned about his Meiser observance. And the Gemara brings an incident to prove this. There was somebody who called his friend, Dai Rabbi Darasa. He wanted to insult him, and he said that you are a ger, the son of gerim. So he responded, Amalei. So the way he responded to him was, Tesali, the Layachli Perishvias Kvasach. How did he give it back? He said, I don't need Shemitah like you. So we see that what was the biggest insult you could give a person is saying that you are a person that eats Perishvias. So Mefarshim try to understand, we need to understand Pashup Shad in the Gemara, that somebody says that you're a ger, your yichis is a weak yichis, and you respond that you eat perishvias. What's the response? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is that the Gemara, the Medrash, says that Shemitah is comparable to Shmir Shabbos. So we know even in our world, one of the biggest insults you could say to an individual is say to a person he's a Machal Shabbos. So we're telling a person that you're not careful with perishvias is like calling him a Machal Shabbos. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara says, I think Rashi says it in Chumash as well, that if somebody violates Shemitah, he ultimately will lose all of his property, all of his possessions, and he'll have to sell himself to be an Eved. So when you call a person that he's not careful with Shemitah, what are you essentially saying to him? You're essentially saying to him, you're going to be a slave. And that's why it's a terrible insult. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked, a Gemara that we've learned even in our Masechet a number of times. Shmuel says that Hegdish shechilloi al shava pruta. If you have Hegdish and you redeem it even just on a pruta, it can be the most expensive item. Mechulal, it's considered redeemed. So Mefarshim asks an obvious question. The Gemara is saying that if you're not careful with Shemitah, you're certainly not careful with Maaser. We need to understand why. Being careful with Shemitah is very difficult. People who live in Israel can relate to it. You have to be careful with everything, all the fruits and vegetables you buy. Maaser, it's very easy to take care. You just be paid on a pruta. So why, because somebody is not careful with Shemitah, are we so quick to say that he's also choshed ala maaser? So the simple teretz is that throughout Shas, there's a machloikas tanoim if maaser is considered mom and gavoy or mom and hedget. If you consider Maisa Mom and Hegit, so then Shmuel's rule doesn't apply. Because when did Shmuel say Hegdish Shechiloi al Shava Pruta? Strictly Hegdish. But if Maisa is considered Mom and Hegit, that rule wouldn't apply. But then I saw Mefarshim answer, so three answers to this question. Being Paida Maisa is not as simple as it sounds. And again, people who know the halachas know this. Because Truma, the halach indeed is, the Midaraisa, Chita achas peteres sakri. Take out one kernel and you're fine. Maisa, that wasn't work. You have to bring a minted coin. You have to know how to do it. So therefore, if you don't know it, if you don't know the halacha, you're not going to do it correctly. A third teretz that I saw is why indeed, and we discussed this already, I think, in our shiurim, why indeed is the halacha that hegdish echillah or shava pruta, that you can have the most expensive item of hegdish, and you're paid it on shava pruta and you're fine. Why indeed is that the halacha? So the Mefarshim, we explained, because Hegdish, there's no Einor by Hegdish, as we learned, or you could be, and that din, that there's no Einor by Hegdish, is only by Hegdish, not by Maaser. So to say that just like you could be paid the Hegdish of Shava Pruta, you could also be paid the Maaser in Shava Pruta, that's not correct. And therefore, saying that Maaser is so easy to be paid the is not a correct approach. Ikadamri, Menada Gemara quotes a different version. Our Mishnah represents Rabbi Kiva Sisma. The Chum's opinion are Choshel al Maaser. If somebody's not careful with Hilchas Maaser, Choshel al Shvius. He's also Choshel al Shvius. Says the Gemara, Man Chachamim. Who are these Chachamim? Says the Gemara, Rameihi. It represents the opinion of Rameya. Domer Rameya has a very serious approach. He says, Choshel dava echad, as soon as you're accused to do one avera, have a choshel chalatara kula. However, the Mefarshim try to understand Rameya, who has a very stringent opinion, how to understand Rameya. I saw three questions. One question in Rameya is that this concept that Rameya says, choshel dava echad, have a choshel chalatara kula, is that a din daraisa, only with the Rabbanim? The Beis Yitzchak has an interesting question. He says, how strict is Rameya? Does it mean if somebody was once over a deraisa, That's it. He's chosh l'chal tarikula. Or Ramei agree he has to do it at least a couple of times. Just because a person fell through once doesn't mean that he's already chosh l'chal tarikula. And the third question is, what does it mean that you were chosh l'davar echad? What kind of a mitzvah or a veira were you over? Does it have to be a lav? Or could it even be a mitzvah sasei, that if you over a mitzvah sasei, you're ready chosh l'chal tarikula? Says the Gemara. Reb Yoyin of Reb Yimir Talmid Reb Zeira, Vamle Reb Yoyin of Reb Zeira Talmid Reb Yoichran, Chara Omer, Aval Chachom Omerim, once quoted the Chachom saying, Choshel al Shviz, if somebody's Choshel al Shviz, he's Choshel al Maiser. Umay Chachomim, as we said in Amen Aleph, whose opinion would that represent Reb Yehuda? Because as we said, where Reb Yehuda lived, Shemitah they took very seriously. The Chara Omer, and another had a version saying, Choshel al Maiser, Choshel al Shviz. If you choshel a ma'isa, then you also choshel a shvius. And then, whose opinion will that represent? Rameya, the Tanya. As we learned in the Braisa, Amar Arish Akibal of Divrei Chaveris. Throughout Shas, we have a concept of somebody who's a chover. Who is a chover? A chover is a person that's makbid on Tumat Tahara. He's makbid not to sell anything that isn't properly taken off Trumas and Maisers. Somebody accept upon himself Chaveris. It's interesting to point out. Why is an individual who does this called specifically a chaver? Why from all the titles we could give him, do we give him the title chaver? So it's sort of a mafarshim explain. We say it every day. Tamid ha-chachamim ma'abim shulam ba'olam. What does that mean? There are a lot of people, there are a lot of associations in the world. But that doesn't mean that there's anything real about those groups and anything real about those associations. What is a real association? An association that's built on Torah. Somebody who's a chaver that acts appropriately, his group is a real group. His chabura is a real chabura. Says the Gemara, "I'm a harsh kibal of divrei chaveris for nechshel davar echad," and then he falls through nechshel kolakul kura divrei Rameya. This is Rameya's opinion that you become disqualified. The chama aren't that strict. He says, "Ena nechshel is a davar bavad." He's only considered suspect to that issue. Continues the Gemara. Hager shekibalov divrei Taira, a ger that accepts upon himself divrei Taira, afilu nechshel afilu davar echad, even if we see that he isn't following what the Torah requires, says the Gemara b'choshel l'chol Taira kula, he becomes suspect l'chol Taira kula, v'rei k'yisrael n'mumer. However, says the Gemara, even though we're dealing with a ger, and now we have question on his observance, that doesn't take away him still being part of our people. And says the Gemara, what's the nafkamina? The Kaddish, Kedush of Kedushin. We're not going to say that he's no longer a Jew. And if he's Makadish, a woman, she will be an Eishes Ish. The Sasemis makes an observation. What will be the halacha if this ger, who is obviously weak in his observance, and we're going to speak about this more in a moment, does a bris milah? Will his bris milah be considered a kosher bris milah? Tanabon. Habal l'kabal divrei chaveris. If somebody accepts him upon himself, as we just discussed, divrei chaveris, chutz midavar echad, but he says, you know what, I'm taking it, but one rule I don't want to accept, em kabal nisoy. His chaveris is not accepted. Furthermore, says the Gemara, oivik acham shabal l'kabal divrei taira. A very interesting, controversial issue here. A guy that wants to become a ger, but he says, chutz midavar echad. He's not going to accept one of the rules of the Torah, then we don't accept his geiris. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, how far do we take this halacha? Afilu digduk echem v'divrei seifrim. Even one rule of the divrei seifrim. There's a very big machloikus. What is the definition of divrei seifrim? Some explain divrei seifrim. We know that it is the job of the Rabbanan to explain the psukim of the Torah. And if he doesn't accept one explanation of the Rabbanan, one drush of the Rabbanan, the Pasuk of the Torah, his geirus is invalid. But there's a stricter interpretation, which is the interpretation of most Paiskim. There are many rules that are the Rabbanan that are not biblically based at all. The Rabbanan, geirus the Rabbanan. And divrei seifrim, they say, means that if a geir isn't prepared to accept even one of those rules, then the halacha is his geirus is not a valid geirus. And I saw a beautiful ride to that explanation. There's a pasuk in the Megillah. Kibu v'kibla Yehudim, aleim v'alzaram, v'alkol ha'nilva aleim, l'kayim as Divrei Yimei HaPurim HaElu. What's the definition of Kol HaNilvim Aleihem? So Rashi says in the Megillah, Kol HaNilvim Aleihem, the Gerim. So it's an obvious question. That every time we find the mitzvah in the Torah, does the Torah say that all the Gerim accepted it as well? What does the Torah, what does the Megillah have to say to the Gerim? If they're Gerim Tzedek, of course they follow all the halachas. So the Mefarshim explain. Purim is an example of the Rabbanan that is totally not biblically based. There's no Makor in the Torah for Purim. Says the Pasuk in the Megillah, if you want to be Hanilva Malayim, if you want to be a Ger, you have to even accept a mitzvah like Purim. The Beis Yitzchak says a very interesting halacha, says a very interesting psak. We know that through ever in halacha, dvarim shebelev lehavadvarim. We don't look at what thinking. We look at what you say. Says the Beis Yitzchak, let's say you have a person that comes to accept upon himself geiris. And he says, I accept everything. But you know he's not sincere. His geiris is invalid. I, dvarim shebelev lehavadvarim. So he says, amari degechidish. He says, what is the definition of geiris? The definition of geiris was the first rule, Kabbalah's mitzvahs. What does Kabbalah's mitzvahs mean? Kabbalah's mitzvahs doesn't mean that you say you makabal the mitzvahs. Kabbalah's mitzvahs means that you mean it. So therefore, by geiris, unlike any other area of halacha, the halacha is dvarim shebelev havadvarim. And if you see that the person, even though he's saying it, is not sincere, says the Beis Yitzchak, it's not a geiris. However, there's a very interesting psak from Chaim Oizer, Nishalas Tshuvas Achiezer. He says, what happens if somebody, and all these are not lahalocha lemaisa, just to raise the issues. What happens if somebody accepts upon himself a geiris, and he's sincere about keeping all of the daraisas, not the derabonans? Is he a ger medaraisa? Because medaraisa, he had a Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Yes, he didn't keep all the rabbanans, but is he at least a ger medaraisa, where we would have to be machmer that if he does a kedushin, his wife would be an eishes ish. The Achiezer is not so sure. He may be considered medaraisa a ger. Others, Vilyashev, other paiskim disagree. Another interesting question, and again, just to raise the issue. Let's say we have a person who's makabel upon himself geiris, and he's makabel mitzvahs, and he's makabel all the mitzvahs, even the derabbanans. But we see that he's not a person who's really going to be observant. But when we see that people who are not observant, even born Jews are not, unfortunately, always totally observant. There are two types of non-observant Jews. There's a mumala teyavin, and there's a mumala hachas. Most are mumala teyavin. It's not like they don't believe. It's easier not to eat kosher. It's easier not to be shayim shabbos. That doesn't make you into mumala hachas. It makes you mumala teyavin. What is the halacha if you have a ger who's sincere in his kabbalah's mitzvahs, but you know he won't be able to fulfill all the, he won't be able to be totally observant. Is that geiris a valid geiris or not? Again, it's a very interesting subject. In the Paiskin, there's a child's chuvus melem lahoyel on this issue. Continues the Gemara. The Ken ben Levi shabal kabal divri levia. A Levi that comes to accept upon himself divri levia. The kohen shabal kabal divri kuhuna. A kohen that says, I'm going to take upon myself all the divri kuhuna. Chutz midavar echad. Except, I don't want to follow one. Eim a kabal nisai. He can't be accepted for the avoida. Shinema, hamakrav esdam hashlamim, havoida hamasur lebnei haron, kol koin she'en amoidaba, ein lechelik bekuhuna. Somebody doesn't accept upon, doesn't, is not moida in the avoida, he can't do the avoida. So there's a machlokes, what is the definition of an individual who's not moida in the avoida? Some rishonim say that he doesn't believe that a Kodesh Baruch Hu told us the hilchas avoida Kahanim. The Ritva has a very difficult time accepting that pshat, because that's a kaifa biker. So, I saw two other pshatim. One pshat is, we who are learning the Kachim Masechtas could appreciate this pshat. We know that there are many avoiders that we learned that are ma'akif, that are essential, that there are many avoiders that are not ma'akif. If somebody doesn't accept those halachas, he's already disqualified from doing the, from being a kohen. A third pshat that I saw is kol kohen she'en amoida b'avoida, is he accepts that everything's from Hashem. He accepts all of the gemaras that we learned. He says, you know, this avoid is not for me. I'll do all the avoid, but this avoid is not for me. That also is disrespect for the kahuna, and we don't let him do the avoida. So I saw that the Paiskim, Rav Ozden, the Shalos HaTshuvos Shevet HaLevi, has a discussion about this, and we can understand a minhag ha'olam. The world has a custom that if somebody, Baruch Hashem, has the schus of doing the mitzvah, pidyon haben, they look for a kayin who's a chashva kayin, who's a very distinguished kayin. The question is, and there are always issues, you have relatives who are kahanim, why? But a kayin is a kayin is a kayin. But our Gemara just taught us that kol kayin she'ena ba'avayda ba'avayda, if he's not as observant as he should be, doesn't get a chelik in the avayda. And the Brisker Rav has a very strong interpretation of this. He says there's a din of matnas kuhuna. What does matnas kuhuna mean? That you have an obligation of nesina. You've not fulfilled your obligation of nesina. You've not fulfilled your obligation of nesina if he's such a kayin. So now we know what we have to look for, a kayin who is indeed a person that we can believe is moide ba'avayda. In fact, there are communities that have the minig that they take more than one kayin for pidyon haben. What's the basis for that minig? This Gemara. Because you never know what this kayin is really all about. So you take a number of choshev kahanim, and hopefully you got at least one proper kayin. Where I did see an interesting question, Rav Ozner and Rabbi Yoshev discussed this question I saw, is what's going to be the halacha that the person is moide ba'avayda. He is moide ba'avayda, he believes in the avayda, and with all of the details. But he's a kayin who's not that observant. His observance is weak. What is his status? Rav Ozner is very machmer. It says you shouldn't, that person is also disqualified from the kuhuna and shouldn't use him for pidyon haben. Rabbi Yoshev isn't quite certain if he becomes disqualified that way. Continues the Gemara. Tana Abonim. Habal Kabul Divri Chaveris. If somebody comes to accept upon himself to be a Chaver, Imri Inu Shinoig B'tsinah B'toch Beisoy, if we see that in his private observance he's careful, Mekabul Beisoy, we accept it, V'achach Melamden Beisoy. And then we teach him, Vim Lav, but if we don't have any reason to know that he is indeed of that level. So such an individual, Malam Denoisoi Vach Makabonoisoi. Rav Shim Ben Yechayimer, Ben Kach Makamonoisoi. If a person is sincere, it doesn't make a difference what we know about him. We accept his Chaveris, and then Vahulam Kadak Vahaylach, and then he'll learn what he has to learn. Tan Rabbonim, Makabon Lekhnafayim. If we have a person who is, accepts upon himself, Lekhnafayim, that he's going to be careful always to wash his hands before he eats. And why is this important? Because this is important because if you don't wash your hands before you eat, then the bread you touch halachically is considered tamei. Why is washing your hands called knafayim? So the Mefarshim explain, because the halacha is that after you wash your hands, you're supposed to lift them up like knafayim. So HaMekabel, says the Gemara, if he accepts upon himself to be careful in the Tilas Yadayim, Vachkach Mekabel Taharis, and then he could go up a level to Taharis. Vim Omer, and if the individual says, Eini Mekabel El Knafayim, if the person says to you that that's all, I'm fine, that's all I want to accept, fine. Kibel Taharis, let's say you have an individual that was Mekabel for Taharis, and then the loy kibul knafayim, and we see that he wasn't serious about knafayim, then we don't accept his taharis either, because Rashi says a very interesting Rashi. Rashi says, washing your hands before you eat is a davakal, it's very easy to do. If you see a person can't be makbid to do that properly, then we can't accept anything that this person will be careful. And I saw a very interesting psak from Chaim Kanievsky. He says as follows. If there's a person who is a mashgiach in a food establishment, and we see him eating bread without washing, first, Natila Sedayim, he should be dismissed. Why, says Chaim Kanievsky? What does one have to do with the other? Says Chaim Kanievsky, because what does Rashi say here? The washing is considered a dovakal, a very easy thing to do. So if somebody shows that he is unable to even do a davar kal, how can we trust that he's going to do what a mashgiach has to do sometimes, which is a davar chomer? Continues the Gemara. Tana Abonin, at kama mekabel nosoi. which means as follows. How long does it take for us to really be sure that he's a chaver? Notice he took upon himself to be a chaver. We have no track record with him. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that the Gemara a moment ago made the following distinction. The Gemara says that if we saw that he kept upon himself divrei chaveris b'tzina, then we accept him as a chaver immediately. So what does that mean? Because you saw him one day doing the right thing? How much do you have to know that he did the right thing that we should be confident about this individual? B'shamay amr l'mashkin, when it comes to liquids, shloshim yoyim, luxus, as far as considering his clothing, that they don't have on them tumei medras, we know if a zava or a zava come in contact with clothing, they become tumei, shnei masachaydish. B'shamay amr echadzeh v'echadzeh, ask the Gemara, it turns out the Beis Hillel is more machmir than Beis Shammai. And we know that the Mishnah Masechta Idyos lists all of the situations where Beis Hillel are the machmirim and Beis Shammai are the makilim. So ask the Gemara, it turns out that this machlokes im can have a limikule Beis Shammai or mechumer Beis Hillel. And why is it not mentioned in Masechta Idyos? Says the Gemara, we have to reverse the opinion. They say 30 days is always enough. Simon Chover Talmud Chelus Meches Chazer Gabay Baatzmai. Tanabon. Habol Kabel Divrei Chaveris. Somebody accepts upon himself Divrei Chaveris. Tzorach Lekabel Fnei Shloisha Chaverim. It's only considered a valid acceptance if he did it in front of three such individuals. Furthermore, Ubanov Ubnei Beisa Enetzrich Lekabel. His family members have no need to be Makabel. Why? Because if your father's a chaver and you've grown up and you become accustomed to that style of living, you don't have to have your own kabbalah. They have to have their own kabbalah. Just because your father did something doesn't mean you will. Tanabon. Habala kabbal. Chdivri chaveris. You have to have three chaverim. Even if you're a talmud chacham, that doesn't take away your obligation to have this kabbalah. However, says the Braisa, if you are an individual who is a zok in the yoshib yeshiva, that you are yoshib yeshiva, and the way Rishonim explained, zok in yoshib yeshiva is an individual who's a dayan, who's a judge. Such an individual the fact that you are dying puts you into a certain status. Not only does a dying not have to have this kabbalah, but he is an individual that you could be mekabel in front of him. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'mei Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, says the Gemara, is topic with Milsa b'Taharis. Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Yossi were learning Taharis, and they had a question. Shadru Rabbanim, so Rabbanim sent them to the great Talmud Chacham of Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus to ask him this question. Amalei Azilu, so they went. And he said, I need to look into this question. Ashkech, the Katan Taharis, they saw that he's being careful about Taharis. Voice of Rabbanim Medidei Legabei, V'ko'i Le'inabei. He ignored them. They came to ask him the question. And what they saw happened was that he was ignoring them, and he took other of his Talmidim, who he knew were careful about Taharis, and discussed it with them. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi were very offended. Also, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. So they told this to Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Ovishal Zeh Bizeh Talmud Chacham. Afhu Mevazeh Talmud Chachamim. He has in his family this trait, that they're not careful with the cover of Talmud Chachamim. Amalei Rabbi Yossi, Kvoi Zokin Yimunach B'kamay.
So
So what happened here was, he ignored them, they were offended, and they told him, don't be offended, because he's careful to teach Taharis only to people who are Talmid Chacham. The Chavetz Chaim, the Sefer Shmiras Haloshin, has a discussion on this Gemara. He asks, how could it be that they accepted the Lashon Hara, that they came to say that he was Mevazadem? So first of all, he says he didn't accept it. They only listened. But still, how was he allowed to listen to the Lashon Hara? So the Chavetz Chaim gives two answers. One is, when the issue of Kavod Talmid Chacham is on the table, then you're allowed to hear, to react. Another explanation the Chavetz Chaim gives is because they told him that he should tell them to act appropriately in the future. Then you're allowed to listen. Tanabon, Chavetz Shemes, if a Chavetz passes away, Ishtav Bono B'nei Beisoy, Harei Heim B'cheskoson, they remain in the Chazaka of doing what's right, until we have reason to be concerned. V'kein, Chotz Shemoichem B'tcheles, a Chotz that we have, a Chazaka sells kosher tcheles, Harei B'cheskoson, Ach Tiposel. Tanabon, Eishis Chav Amorot Shnissis L'chaver. The woman was originally married to an Amorot, and then she married a Chaver. Became Mita Shlam Oritz, Shinnissus L'chaver. Or, she's the daughter of Amoritz. Became Avdi Shlam Oritz, Shinnimka L'chaver. Kulan L'tzkabel Divrei Chaver B'tchila. Just because they marry or come into such a family, it isn't enough. They have to accept upon themselves Divrei Chaveris. Avdi Eishes Chaver, Shinnissus L'am Oritz. You have a woman who was originally married to Chaver. Her husband passes away, now she marries an Amoritz. Became Biti Shal Chaver, Shinnissus L'am Oritz. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand this Gemara. Some Rishonim say that this woman, we'll use this example, was married to a Chaver. Now she married Am Oretz. So they say, until we have reason to believe that she's not acting appropriately, we could be comfortable that she's still acting appropriately. Only when we see that she isn't, need we be concerned. That's one pshat. That's the more lenient pshat. The other pshat is as follows. As she was married to Chaver, then she married Amoritz. So as long as she's married to Amoritz, we need to be concerned that she's not doing the right thing. Because a wife follows her husband. Now the husband, who's the Amoritz, dies or divorces her. So says the Gemara, even though normally a person to be a Chaver has to accept upon themselves the Rechaveris, this woman doesn't have to. Because she just falls back to her original position where she was acting like a chaver. Ramei Oimer, Ramei disagrees. Ramei says that once she stopped acting appropriately, she falls back. They have to act, she has to take it upon herself, otherwise we have to be concerned. Says the Gemara. And the Gemara makes this point. There was a woman that was married to a chaver, and she used to help him put on the tefillin, tie on the tefillin. Nisus l'amoritz, and then she was married to an amoritz, we're going to learn in tomorrow's shir that the people who were the toll collectors, the Gemara calls magabai, were considered very dishonest. So when she was married to the gabai, she helped him along in his bad ways, and when she's married to the talmid chacham, she helped him along in his good ways. The Tosfos, we learned the Tosfos from Sechta Menachos, makes two points in this Gemara. There's a question in the Gemara, how do we understand the pasuk, Uksharetem l'ois al yodecho? Doesn't mean, as we understand it, you should just put on the tefillin every day, or does it mean you have to make a knot, a new knot every day? Tosfos says that this Gemara is a raya, that you have to make a new knot every day. What does the Gemara say that she was doing on his behalf? She was making a knot on his behalf. But then there's a real issue. Because the halacha is that anybody who's not mechuyev in a mitzvah cannot fulfill the mitzvah. So a woman is not mechuyev in mitzvah tefillin. So how could she be the one putting tefillin on her husband if she's not obligated in the mitzvah tefillin? So some explain that that doesn't mean regarding the actual putting on the tefillin. It means regarding the writing of the tefillin. She didn't write the tefillin here. She only helped him put it on. Another pshat is that she didn't actually do it all by herself. He was weak, and he needed some assistance, but it wasn't that he couldn't manage without her.